Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch, your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, and the author of Critical Issues Commentary. In this current series, we're going through Bob's article, Rescued, Transferred, Redeemed, and Forgiven. It's an exposition of Colossians 1, 13, and 14. And that is CIC issue 131. Initially, we've made it through an introduction where we looked at why it was that you wrote this article in the first place, Bob, in response to concerned readers and listeners who've contacted you with concerns of looking for deliverance from evil spirits and satanic oppression. And today we'd like to take it a little bit further and look at the world under the evil one. And so if you're looking at a printout of this article, we're on page one still, but we're going to take a look at an overview of the world of the spirits. So in this article, Bob, you go through a biblical worldview in regard to the world of the spirits. And could you give us an overview of that?
Yes. And last week we cited 1 John 5:19, the whole world, cosmos, lies in the power of the evil one. We pointed out that that's not geographical as far as the basic thing. In other words, if you are under the evil one, it's because you live in the fallen world like everybody else. Geographically, yes, the whole world geographically is influenced by the fall. But the main point here is a relational one. If you're not in Christ, you're in the fallen world spiritually. And we also pointed out that you can't buy an airplane ticket to get to the kingdom of God. Okay, or drive anywhere. It's not geographical, it's relational. And anywhere on the globe, if you're trusting in Christ, you have a relationship with him. And in Christ, he's your savior, he's your Lord, he's your intercessor, and you can go to the throne of grace. Examining symptoms is not going to be able to convince you that you're either in one realm or the other. It's relational, not symptomatic.
Okay. And we also looked at the category of being blessed or cursed. And you pointed out that it's a matter of in whom are you placing your trust?
Right.
And if you're trusting in Jesus, then these promises from the book of Colossians chapter 1, they are your promises.
Amen. That's exactly right. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So then, as I wrote this article, I mentioned a consequent of 1 John 5:19 that we described. We also looked at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, in Adam all die. They were all born in Adam. So then I went on to say those described by John as from God were persons redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not residents of some Christianized nation state. By the way, when the biblical authors wrote, there was not a single Christianized nation state anywhere.
Right.
That happened in church history through a lot of foolish conquests using military to try to make people Christian. But if you know anything about history, whether it's Christian history or world history, you'll study the same things. At the time of the Reformation, the Hundred Years' War, the 30 Years' War, being in a Christianized nation state doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
Born into a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. The only way you're a Christian is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, born of God, trusting in him. So then I say in this article, God reigns over persons, both individually and gathered in his name, Matthew 18, 20. Two or three of you gather my name, there I am in the midst of you. So the church is defined by those who are redeemed and added as they're saved, the gathered flock. And it's not defined racially, ethnically, geographically. It's defined by the relationship with Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes,
So then
it's.
we're pointing out that before coming to Christ, every person was under the power of the evil one. And that would be true no matter what. I said in the article, one might be happy, bright person, loved by all, another having a miserable life. That doesn't tell us much. We all know people, as Christians, we know people who love Jesus and know that they're loved by him, who suffer horribly and are unable to care for themselves sometimes. That doesn't mean that they aren't part of the family of God.
Right. Yes, you pointed out that it's not geographically, it's not symptomatically, that it's relational,
Yep.
a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yep. And so one of the things that's important is to see one's need. Even after conversion, sometimes when people ask me, but what about this or what about that? I point them to 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger from Satan. We don't know what that was. But when Paul, the apostle, got a direct answer from the Lord about it, the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
And so he rejoiced in his weaknesses. We have to believe that God has our best interest in mind, that he's going to bring us to glory. Okay? So we're still in the same wicked world as far as our abode on the face of the earth. And the lawlessness around us still grieves us. The things that we go through are still difficult, but we know we have eternal life. We know we're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. We'll get to that as we go through these verses, and that we have access to the throne of grace. So one of the things in the article is I lay out sort of a biblical worldview from a spiritual perspective. And I think you're aware of that, Barb.
Yes, I am. We often refer to it as a divine counsel worldview.
Right.
Could you explain, like the Deuteronomy 32 passage where it makes it clear how God rules his world?
Sure. So I point out here, everyone who doesn't know God is blinded by the darkness that's in the world, blinded by Satan. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. But it's not hopeless because we preach the gospel and God pierces through that darkness and brings the light of truth and redeems people as they believe the gospel. Okay? Now, how was it that the world is under this? So I'm going to cite here Deuteronomy 32, 8 and 9 from the ESV. Some of the translations are not very good based on the original. They don't bring out the full implication of what it says. But the ESV does in this case. So I'll cite that. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. Deuteronomy 32, 8 and 9, ESV. Now we know from elsewhere in the Old Testament that in this context, sons of God includes some hostile powers and evil beings. Now, this is hard for people to think about because it's probably not what they've been typically taught, but it's clearly in the scripture. And it's mentioned in Genesis 6, 1 through 4, as far as the rebellious sons of God who came and created the situation and caused the flood. And you certainly, we talked about Job last time. When they were coming before God, here's Satan. And said, well, Job's not really serving you other than for the benefits you give him. So you can read Job 1 and verse 6. And then also I mentioned the article 1 Kings 22, 19 to 23, where in this divine council meeting, there was a discussion about how to deal with the, I believe it was Ahab, was it?
Yes, Ahab was
Ahab.
In on that.
And so one of them said, well, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Well, I had to be evil because God cannot lie. So an evil spirit caused his prophets to say, go into the battle, but then it was going to be bad for Ahab. Does that make sense? You
yeah.
Can look up 1 Kings 22, 19 to 23. Then there's a warning about the host of heaven, which is also used in a similar way. This may be a big deal for some people because they never thought of it this way. And I know people that I respect and love the gospel who just simply won't believe there's a divine council like this. And I guess it seems, I don't know, I'm not going to judge anybody or their motives. But I think it's clearly what the Bible teaches.
The Divine Council worldview does help us to take these passages as they are written, and it makes it understandable to understand this paradigm of a Divine Council. So I've appreciated it in another CIC article that you wrote, issue 134, you get into a deeper discussion of the two dominions in that worldview.
Two-domain theology, yeah.
Two-domain theology, yes. And this issue that's under discussion is issue 131, but it's important for us to understand what God has rescued us from, the dire condition that we are under from birth. And so I appreciate that you've taken the time to give us a kind of an introductory overview to what that worldview entails.
Yes, and it's found throughout. Once you see it, it's throughout the Bible. And you going all the way back to Abram, and who becomes Abraham, and the promises to his descendants, and some of the Ruamai, the rescued, is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament about God removing his people Israel from Egypt through miraculous means, and what was happening back then. So it's throughout the Bible. So the only reason I brought it up in this article and we're talking about today is telling us that God rescued us from the domain of darkness.
Yes.
The domain of Satan, and brought us as his people directly under him. And we have access to the Lord Jesus Christ at the throne of grace. And so notice, I referenced a little bit ago, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh, which was called an angelos, or angel of Satan, whatever it was. He didn't rebuke it. He asked the Lord to remove it.
Yes.
The thorn. And the false teachers have seminars telling Christians how to take this matter into their own hands and determine their own destiny by using the techniques that they teach. And I pointed out, we mentioned this a little last week, that they made themselves into shamans.
Yes.
Experts at the spirit world. And so you can see that in some of the common popular teachings, that you can determine your own destiny, you can get rid of all the things you don't like. But Paul didn't know about that. He just went to the Lord.
Yes, and so you are often contacted by listeners and readers who are looking for deliverance from oppression that they are experiencing. And you have pointed out the fact that you are not there to manipulate the spirit world to anyone's benefit. Who is our mediator?
There's one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5. And if we have direct access to the Creator, according to John 1, all things were created through him, Jesus Christ, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, who's eternal, who came into our world through the virgin birth, who fully God and fully man, and died for sins once for all, just for the unjust, predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection, was raised, appeared to many witnesses, and bodily ascended to heaven in front of witnesses. You see that, 1 Corinthians 15. That's who we're speaking about. He's the one who brings light into the darkness.
Yes,
He's the
he's
one with
the.
power over death. So if we have some symptom that we think may be caused by demons, and we are Christians, the thing to do is go to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring our concerns to him. So Paul did. He's the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And whatever he allows for our ultimate good. Maybe it's to remind us we don't want to go back to that world. Christians have physical and health problems like everybody else does. But we have
Now,
promises of eternal life.
and those promises are only for those who have been redeemed and who have been rescued from the dominion of darkness,
Amen.
that Jesus Christ is the only way out of that kingdom, the dominion of darkness.
Right. And when we get to the word transferred, we'll talk about that. It's a transfer from one kingdom to another. All of this is just in these two verses. It's pretty loaded verses.
Yes, and I'd like to read the verses that are under discussion in this article.
Okay.
This is an exposition of Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that's Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
Amen. Amen. And that's written to the church in Colossae. In the article, I mentioned the host of heaven. By the way, I'm saying that the deliverance counselors people run into are effectively shamans. And some have told me, well, you're being too harsh. They're just trying to help people. And they're obviously the disciples casted out demons. I mentioned that, I think, last week. But no, what they're trying to do is manipulate the world of the spirits for the benefit of people. And we can't do that because it's not based on technique or magical arts or whatever. It's based on relationship. We keep going back to the relationship. If you're in Christ, you've been transferred out, even though we still live in bodies that are getting old and decaying. We still live in a world that's full of hostility and sin and darkness, but we're under Christ. And so I cited in the article Deuteronomy 4, 19 and 20 to kind of give us an idea of the difference as far as relationship and what it's like for everybody that doesn't know God. Okay? Deuteronomy 4, 19 and 20. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun, moon, and stars, and all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out from the furnace, iron furnace from Egypt, to be a people for his own possession as today. So the Egyptians, the old world that they were enslaved in, are worshiping the host of heaven, whether it's referring to astrology, individual deities that they glorified. They had magicians who tried to help or try to prove that they could do what Moses did, okay? And the bringing out the Passover, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, the splitting of the sea, the cloud. This is referenced, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 10, I think the first several verses.
Yes.
How God had rescued them. So the whole world is under the host of heaven. The spirits are at work in the sons of disobedience, it says.
I think that there's often a misunderstanding that we think the host of heavens are twinkling stars or shining angels. But you're saying the host of heaven are actually demonic beings being worshipped.
Yeah, it's also called in Colossians, which we're in Colossians, the stoichia. Stoichia is a Greek word that can be used in different contexts as an orderly system. But in Colossians, the stoichia were the powers of darkness that they'd been under, the hostile powers. And just like the children of Israel were tempted to go back to Egypt when they had bad circumstances, and which would be apostasy, the people in Colossae were tempted to go back to the magical practices that they'd learned in the pagan culture rather than trust in the Lord who has brought them to himself. If you like to listen to sermons on this, I preach through Colossians, and that's on the ggf.church website. And you can look for Colossians and listen to your heart's content to the videos on this. So, but it said, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession. Okay, that's the key. That's a relationship. Last week, we looked at Jeremiah. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh. It's relational. But if they, as a people, Israel, if they say no, like when they made the golden calf, we can't see Moses, who knows where he is, then they come under God's judgment. And they become like the pagans. And they start wanting to go back to Egypt.
So what happens, we find in the New Testament, Israel had been preserved, chosen as God's very own to not be under the hostile powers.
Yeah.
But what do we find out about in the New Testament?
Well, what happened was the Lord sent the Creator, second person of the Trinity, the Son, Jesus Christ, telling them that in him there was a way out. And you see that in John. You see it throughout the New Testament. Forgiveness of sins mentioned in Colossians. Here are the passages that we're studying. Colossians 1, forgiveness of sin. The word for forgiveness means release. He offered to rescue people from darkness. In one case in Luke 5, there was a man that they went through a whole lot of trouble to get him to Jesus so that he could be cured of a disease. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And then they were, what is that all about? We brought this guy to be healed. And he said, in order that you might know that the Son of Man, a reference to Daniel 7's description of Messiah, meaning Messiah, has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I believe he was lame. Take up your bed and walk. And he did. That's a miracle. The miracles proved who Jesus is. the authority to forgive sins, to raise the dead, as he did with Lazarus, to take people with no hope, without God in this world, and bring them to himself, to dine with sinners and take those sinners and make them part of the family of God. But the leadership of Israel, pretty clear in Matthew 23, but they were, Jesus said, you tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's fingers, but you're not willing to lift them a bit, with lay them on men's shoulders, but you won't lift them with one finger. And then you love the greetings, Rabbi, look at the robes, look who we are. But when the truth came, they hated it. And Stephen mentioned that in Acts chapter 7. I have this in the article. And I think it's interesting the terminology that Stephen uses at the time when he was eventually martyred for preaching Christ. And I say this in page 2, first column of this article, if you have the PDF of it. By the time of the New Testament, Israel was under the host of heaven like the other nations. This was God's judgment for consistent rebellion that often included worship of the host of heaven. Stephen mentioned that in his sermon, quote, but God turned away and delivered them to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, quote, it was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? Unquote, Acts 7:42. It says in 2 Chronicles, and then I go on, 2 Chronicles 33:3, Manasseh worshiped the host of heaven. Okay? So I point out that when John said the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, it's true. Including right now, there are spiritual promises for Israel, by the way. We believe that God will still, there will be a millennial kingdom, and Christ will reign. But it's going to, some things are going to happen in the meantime. But right now, all the nations of the world are under darkness and this host of heaven. There's a prophecy that I cite in the article from Isaiah 24, 21 from the New American Standard. So it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of earth on the earth. So let me explain something. We're out of time here, but this will help us. It'll help us not be so angry, if nothing else. When we see the leadership that we often end up with, it varies. And people, Christians all over the globe, are living under bad civil governments that are hostile to Christ. But it would be worse had God not done what he did. And as I cited the passage in Deuteronomy 32, and you look at what happened at Babel and the scattering and then the Table of Nations, God has ordained that humans live in nations with boundaries and civil leaders, and that we interact with those civil leaders. We're not directly interacting with the host of heaven.
Right.
The civil leaders may not even believe there's a host of heaven, but they're under them. And not that there aren't any Christian civil leaders, which case they've been transferred like everybody else. And so I tell this to the Sunday school class we have where we discuss these things. We don't know how good we have it compared to what we could be.
Right.
If you want to know what could be and what will be, you can read in Revelation what it's like under Daniel's 70th week when they're directly under the demons and the spirits.
Yes.
And it's hellish. Right now, we're spared from that because we're under civil governments in nations with boundaries. And we don't have to deal directly with the demons that are part of the host of heaven.
Yes. And
I know
as
this
we...
is a lot. I think people are probably thinking, I thought this was going to make it simple.
Well, as we continue our series, we're going to move on to the first promise that's offered in Colossians 1:13, and that is that we are rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the beloved Son. It's called the kingdom of light in verse 12 there of Colossians 1. So the only hope is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we wanted to lay the foundation that the bad news is indeed bad. That you say at the end of this section, and it's on page 2 of your article, at the end of the first column, we need to appreciate that we were in a horrible state of spiritual bondage. We were under the host of heaven, the powers of darkness that rule over what the Bible calls the sons of disobedience. And this is not symptomatic, but relational. And so we once again stress that the issue is not about whose, the issue is about whose domain we are in. Are we in Christ's domain or in Satan's?
Amen.
Well,
And I want to be reminded next time we record to talk about how we directly interact with the civil government by praying for the leaders God gave us, realizing it's
yes.
His mercy that we don't have to directly interact with the host of heaven. And we have human leaders and civil governments, with which Romans 13 said God ordained.
Yes.
Okay, the bad sometimes, but they're not nearly as bad as the hosts of heaven.
Right. And we do need to be praying for them.
Amen.
Well, that's a great place to wrap up this program. We're out of time for today. We want to remind you that you can access this program and many others, as well as years' worth of articles at the website cicministry.org. And we want to remind you all, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.